Welcome to Inside the Studio of the Podcaster, where we open up the studio doors and look at the equipment, the software, the apps, and the plugins that make it all happen, that podcasters like yourself can't live without. And now, here's your host, Scott Herzog. Hello there, and welcome to Inside the Studio of the Podcaster. My name is Scott Herzog, and I am your host for this new podcast that I'm putting together here in an effort to try and deliver equipment that podcasters are using and sharing it with the community. You know, podcasting for many of us is done in isolation. Sometimes we have a co-host in the room with us. At other times, we're Skyping in, but rarely do people see inside the workings of our studio. And so the goal of this podcast and the premise of this podcast is to shed some light on the equipment, the plugins, the apps, the software that people are using in their studios. So each podcast, what's going to happen is we're going to highlight one piece of equipment, one app, one software, one plugin, not on the same episode, and we're just going to talk about it. I'm going to bring on other podcasters to talk about the stuff that they're using, and they're going to share what makes their podcast tick. So it's going to be awesome. It's going to be a learning experience, not only for you guys, but I'm fully expecting to learn as well. I firmly believe that whether you're a seasoned podcaster or whether you're a new podcaster just getting into the business, this podcast will have something to offer you. You will learn about software, about plugins, about equipment that you did not know before. And let me tell you, in the first couple of shows I have coming up, I will be talking with people who use different software than I do, and it will be a learning experience for me. So we're going to interview podcasters that swear by these things, that are making podcasting happen, and these are the people whose podcasts that many of you are listening to. If you are a podcaster and you would like to be a host in the show, there is a link. If you go to podcastingguru.com, at the very top, there's a link that says be a guest on the show. Click on that, fill out the information, let us know what software you want to talk about. It's going to be a great plug for your show and a way that you can kind of pull back the veil on how you do your podcast. It is going to be awesome. Let me give you just a really quick preview of some of the awesome content that we have coming up for you guys. In the next few episodes, I'm going to be chatting with Wayne Henderson. Now, Wayne Henderson and I go way back, at least 5 years, and he does a lot of great work at the Tuning In with Wayne Henderson voiceover website that he has. He's done tons of podcasts, including the Lost Podcast, the Fringe Casting with Wayne and Dan. Most recently, his Resurrection Revealed podcast off the TV show Resurrection, which did very well the other night. Make sure you check him out ahead of time. We're also going to be interviewing Doug Payton from the Consider This podcast, and they're both coming on to talk about some very different things that make their studios click. Let me just give you a little bit of my podcasting cred, my street cred, if you will, of podcasting. It actually goes back about 2 decades. Now, podcasting has not been around that long. If you do the math, 2003, 2004 is the birth of podcasting. I was not podcasting in 1994. However, I was in kind of the pre-podcasting phase, I'm calling it. I did some recording on these little four-track recorders, these tape recorders that you could kind of record four tracks in, and you could punch in and punch out, and you could lay down guitar tracks and vocal tracks and that sort of thing. And that was really my first foray into podcasting, thanks to Jeff King from jeffkingproductions.com, an early friend of mine that kind of helped me get started into doing my own recording and figuring out sound and how you balance that. And that was all happening in the early 90s. In the late 90s, I got into some more live performance stuff. I was in a band for a while, and I had my Alesis Quadriverb to like accent my guitar. I had my SM58s to make it sound real sweet, because it was kind of what most of the bands were using, at least more of the local bands that were using at the time. And so for 4 years, I did live audio. I balanced it, I mixed it, I arranged, I planned, and I gave audio out. The name of the band was Ifatha. There is a website for it, ifatha.net, if you're really curious. Again, this is about 15 years ago I was doing this recording. And I did not actually do the recording. Jeff King kind of helped me in recording that, and he kind of helped me put everything together. And so that was a learning experience for me, and kind of was a part of my podcasting journey, my podcasting footprint, if you will. And then in the early 2000s, I really began to make a point to learn recording software in and out. I purchased for my PC at the time. I was solely on my on a PC. Was not in my home Mac framework that I am right now. I love the Macintosh computer. Don't get me started. But my personal computer at the time, I built from the ground up, something that most people don't do these days anymore. One of the applications, one of the programs that I bought for it was Logic Pro. It wasn't called Logic Pro. It was like Logic Silver Edition or something like that, that I got. And I began to record tracks, lay down drum tracks, guitar tracks, bass tracks, and vocal tracks. And I had some friends of mine that came over, and I did some recording for them. And I threw together music in the early 90s and really began to sink my teeth into, how do you edit something? How do you lay down tracks? How do you manipulate the tracks, get it to sound the way you want it to? How do you get clarity in your tracks? And that really laid the foundation of podcasting for me. Let me just play a sample of one of the songs I produced in the early 2000s, a song that was called Faux Real, F-A-U-X, and then R-E-E-L. And you'll see why in a little bit. Then in 2008, I was introduced to podcasting, and it was all over. Now, you need to know that by day, I masquerade as an English teacher, right? This is my day job. I don't masquerade. I am an English teacher, right? And so I was teaching at this time about 10 years, maybe a little bit longer than that, but around 2008, our school had an in-service, and they took a bunch of teachers from our school and actually pumped us into another school for something that was called Classrooms for the Future. And what Classrooms for the Future was a way that Apple came from Apple Computers. What they were doing, what Steve Jobs was doing at the time, was they were trying to infiltrate the educational institutions and place their infrastructure inside of it. And so obviously that's revenue for them, and also a way for them to kind of keep their hands inside the educational institution. And so as a part of this, they were bringing teachers in to learn all sorts of new stuff. In this in-service I was at, I went to one session that was called podcasting. Now, up to 2008, I may have heard about a podcast, but I had very little knowledge as to what podcasting really was. Charlie Reisinger, our tech guy, said, you really got to check this out. So I went and I checked this out, and God bless Charlie. He didn't know what he did to me that day, because from then on out, I was hooked. I subscribed and listened to podcasts almost exclusively. Off went my radio and on went my podcasts. Some of the first ones, the early ones that I remember listening to, was a podcast by Scott Johnson called The Instance. I was a huge World of Warcraft player at the time, and so it made sense that I would listen to that. Also, I was interested in potentially maybe in the future doing a podcast, and so I was listening to Cliff Ravenscraft, his podcast Answer Man. This is in the summer of 2008. Well, over summer, I was listening to podcasts almost 24/7. We have this huge outbuilding, a barn on our property that need to be painted. And I spent the summer painting. And as I painted it, it was podcast after podcast. I just cycled through and I began to get excited. And I began to say to myself, if these guys are doing podcasting, then I can do it too. So by the time the school year started, I knew that part of what I was going to do for my classes that year was to provide a podcast for my students that would reinforce content I was teaching in the classroom, give a little bit of extra content that maybe they weren't getting in, give them lessons they could access and thus reinforce their learning. And for those that were absent, they really wouldn't be missing much because they could just tune in to a website, download the podcast, go to their iTunes and listen to it. And that's really how my year began. So when I began podcasting, with very little equipment. I had my MacBook computer and that was it. I had GarageBand and that was the extent of my podcasting studio. My first podcast was called the Room 312 Podcast. I bet you can't guess what room number my classroom is at school. Here's just a little sampling of my very first podcast. The audio, it is what it is when you're kind of getting into podcasting. This just gives a sample of the Room 312 podcast. It's not available anywhere online anymore, but just let me give you a sampling of it.
Welcome to Mr. Zog's English Podcast, discovering life, love, and the pursuit of literacy in Room 312.
Today, we're going to be looking at simple, compound, and complex. Maybe a little bit of compound complex. This is our second in a small series on some grammatical points that I like to teach my 9th and 10th graders. And these are some things that they tend to struggle with. And this really does build on the prior lesson of dependent, independent clauses. Because in order to understand simple, compound, complex, you need to know dependent, independent clauses. So this is Room 312. I'm your host, Mr. Zog. Enjoy the show. So that podcast ran about a half year till about March 2009, and then I discontinued it. Students weren't using it quite as much as I was hoping, and I had other interests in podcasting kind of cropped up, as they do, because you know, once you start with one podcast, you just have to do another one. And so in October of 2008, I launched my second podcast, and this one was called the Poem of the Week Podcast, also tied in with what I was doing educationally at the time. I would share student poetry, my own poetry, one poem a week. By that time, by October, I had purchased a snowball from Blue and was actually recording using the Little White Snowball. Still not the best mic, still recording directly in the GarageBand. But that was the kind of the infrastructure that I had, the setup that I had when I first started recording. I recorded my Poem of the Week podcast. Penahachel. I'm back at Penahachel, where 8 young girls surround me, their dirt-stained faces and flickering eyes shrouded in indigenous wrappings of brightly colored blues and greens. Wrappings that recount the story. Their ancestors rise, then fall under the swords of the conquistadors. Faces weathered from working too young, from the lack of food and compensation, and their calloused hands, signs of existence, they etch out on the jungle hills. Sides. Supposed jade necklaces and bracelets are shoved my direction, are accented by the pattering Spanish beneath the blazing Guatemalan sun. I stare past them across the cobalt green lake to the three towering volcanoes, Tolaman, Atitlan, and San Pedro, their heads hidden in the clouds. November of 2008, I roped my wife and one of my good friends, Don, into this whole thing called podcasting, and we launched a podcast so a Catholic and a Protestant walk into a bar. It was short-lived. It lasted about 7 episodes, and the episodes were fun. They were not irreverent at all, but we talked about the differences between Catholicism and Protestant Christianity, and we looked for commonalities in them. And then Don had other obligations. He was moving into the priesthood, and once he left for college, we said, you know what? We aren't going to do this anymore, and so we stopped doing it. That was a real fun podcast that I ran just for a short bit. Here's just a small segment of it just to give you a taste of it, but it was a great podcast to do.
Wait, I got one. So a Catholic and a Protestant walk into a bar. Hey, you're listening to a podcast featuring Scott Protestant, Don Catholic, and Doubting Drummer. Conversations on the wacky world of Catholics and Protestants.
Welcome to So a Catholic and a Protestant Walk into a Bar.
Actually, tonight it looks like a Protestant and two Catholics will be walking into a bar.
Yeah, we drug one of them out.
Shazam!
The Protestant here is outnumbered. My name is Scott Protestant, and with me is...
I am Doubting Drella. I am Doubting Drella Catholic, I guess you could say.
We call her a cafeteria Catholic.
Yes.
And... we have our resident priest.
What? Talk about dumping that on everybody right away.
Yeah, I know. Well, Don
there was no drum roll. There was no, like, there it was.
And then in 2009, everything changed. I figured that after podcasting for about 5 months, that if I was really going to take podcasting seriously, I needed some new gear. I also needed to get away from recording straight onto the computer. I was never a fan of it. My computer tended at the time made a lot of noise when I was recording. The software was working it pretty hard and I could hear that in the recording. I lost some recordings because stuff had glitched in my computer and that kind of made me gun shy. I know a lot of you do record straight into your computer. That's not how I record. Went to a flash-based recorder, went to a Zoom H2. I've since moved on from that. I pulled out my old band SM58s and brushed them off. A few months later, I bought a Heil PR40. That's what I'm speaking into now. One of the best microphones for podcasting ever made. You're going to hear Wayne Henderson talk about that microphone in a few episodes. And I decided to start 3 new podcasts. The first podcast that I began to start in January of that year was a podcast called The Fireside Book Chats. Fireside Book Chats ran for about 300 episodes. It was the closest I came to a daily podcast. And basically, it was a 5, 6, 7 minute book review where I sat down and I interviewed a student about a book they were reading and what they thought about it. So it was books for teens and reviews by teens. That was the tagline for it. And I did that for about a year and a half till finally other things kind of came up educationally and I no longer could make time for it in my classroom. But that ran for that amount of time. In fact, there were probably about 20 to 30 unreleased episodes of that I never released just because I just didn't have the time. I got sidetracked with some other podcasting stuff I was doing at the time. But it was absolutely awesome. The next podcast that I launched was a Haiti in Focus podcast. I launched that one with my wife and we recently relaunched it. It's just kind of getting relaunched. If you go to HaitianFocus.com, you'll see that. But we relaunched the podcast and it was something I did with my wife and we had a lot of fun doing it. If you get a chance, check it out. It's a Haiti in Focus podcast. I'm not going to play a clip here because you can go to the website and still hear that live. The third podcast that I started in 2009, in January 2009, was a Dining at the End of the Universe podcast. And this podcast became the backbone of my podcasting career, if you will. Now, the idea for this podcast was just a couple of guys sitting around chatting sci-fi. My first co-host and I, Don Bender, we used to sit around. He'd come over like Friday nights because my wife at the time would travel a lot. And so he would come over Friday nights and we would just hang out and just kind of chat about science fiction. We'd watch Stargate together. We'd watch Battlestar Galactica together. And it seems like no matter what we did, we would just sit around and we would talk sci-fi. We would go to movies together. And so finally, I said to him, since I was kind of in this podcasting, you know, euphoria, the newborn podcaster phase where you had to start a million podcasts, I said to him, Don, I said, why don't we turn this into a podcast? And he thought it was a great idea until he realized I wanted to do it every week. Again, I had my old SM58s out and we just gathered around a card table with our computers and we just began to record some shows, just kind of chatting about what we were watching, what we liked, and just bantering like we did. So we had a camaraderie and a good relationship prior to podcasting and made working with a co-host easier. Around episode 9 or 10, Don said, you know what? I really don't want to do this every week. I'm out. We brought a new co-host in, and Miles McLaughlin, who is still my co-host after 4 years, God bless him, is there, and he took over the reins, and he's just as geeky and probably has a little bit more knowledge about the sci-fi community than anyone I know. He took on Don's role and became my co-host. So around episode 25, we decided we were going to rebrand the show. A bunch of things kind of went into that. We decided to switch formats of the show. And instead of just chatting about any topic we wanted, we decided to do more of an interview-driven format of show. And that's kind of what has pushed us since episode 25. And so we rebranded from the Dining at the End of the Universe, which is kind of a mouthful, to the Sci-Fi Diner, still kind of the same intent, still doing our menu that we typically have presented in our podcast. And we began to do interviews on the show. And so throughout the time, we interviewed actors from Stargate, from all the Star Trek franchises, actors from Star Wars, Babylon 5, Lost, The X-Files, Angel, Buffy, Once Upon a Time, Breaking Bad, Falling Skies, and the list goes on and on and on. If you really want to know everyone we interviewed, you can just go to the scifidinerpodcast.com website, check us out in the iTunes feed, and it will show up. We also added over time our listener feedback shows. That was around episode 75. And we did Sci-Fi Rewinds and Sci-Fi Diner Classics. And all in all, it's totaled close to 400 episodes. I cannot believe we recorded that much content in the matter of 5 years. But believe it, we have. Now, after that, I don't know if I had podcasting burnout or whatnot, but by the end of 2009, I was down to two podcasts. I was running Hadean Focus and the Sci-Fi Diner podcast. And within the following year, the end of 2010, I was down to the Sci-Fi Diner podcast. And that was about it. Actually, let me back up. I was running the Fireside Book Chat podcast up till about the middle of 2010. But by the end of 2010, the only podcast I was running was the Sci-Fi Diner podcast. But I was, during that time, a weekly contributor to Wayne Henderson's Fringe Casting with Wayne and Dan. Their podcast, I would call in each week and give them, actually when call in, I would record each week a weekly segment called the Fringe Quote of the Week. And I did that until Fringe went off the air. I was doing other stuff. I was contributing to other podcasts, helping other podcasters out, but I wasn't really developing any new shows at that point. That was up until the fall of 2013, when two good friends of mine, David Moulton and Jim Arrowood, and I said, hey, let's start a podcast. There's no podcasts to deal with the Dune universe. Let's start a podcast taking the books of Dune and reading them in chronological order. And let's talk about the world of Dune. And that began a monthly podcast that started in November of 2013 called the Dune Saga Podcast. And that really brings us up to this show. And this is the Inside the Studio of a Podcaster podcast. Now, there's something unique about this podcast. This podcast is really my first solo endeavor as a podcaster. So I have a little bit of learning to do. I'm not used to speaking by myself for this length of time. Now, granted, I am going to be pulling some of you podcasters in to talk about the things that make your studios tick. So I shouldn't have too much time where I'm just by myself. But it is a podcast that I am going to be running by myself. And so that's going to be just a little bit unique. And I may at times just release an episode of just me to highlight something about my studio that I could not live without. We already have some awesome prizes, some great giveaways for the first couple of shows that you will not want to miss. And it has to do with what one of our shows is on. No, I am not giving away a Heil PR 40, although that would be absolutely awesome, wouldn't it? I can't do that. If you want to find out more about what this podcast is about, I would encourage you to hop on over to the podcastingguru.com, podcastingguru.com. You can find out more about me as a podcaster. You can find links to my other podcasts. I have a store with the equipment I use to let you know a little bit about what my infrastructure is. And you can also find out about some of the services that I can provide, download promos, I will play your promo. I will return the favor and play your promo at the end of this podcast. Maybe I'll even throw one of the promos in earlier, right before the interview, as we talk to the podcasters and the equipment that are making their podcasts happen. You can also join the conversation at our Facebook fan page. There's links to that from our website, thepodcastingguru.com, and on Twitter as well. You can join and follow me at podcastingguru. There on Twitter. Thank you so much for tuning into this inaugural, the first podcast of Inside the Studio of the Podcaster podcast. I really appreciate you tuning in, and until next time, keep podcasting, stay learning, and keep listening.